solve customers' problems. Dr. Gallup investigated the effect of the content of televised commercials in the US on subsequent sales for certain consumer goods. He found that, compared to stating the product attributes, the glitter and the glamour say, commercials that purported to solve a customer's problem resulted in sales that were 4 times higher. The conclusion? Solve a problem and increase revenue. Offer solutions. Why should your customers care? Are you helping them solve a problem? Are you helping them to find an answer to a question in their professional lives? Do you meet an unmet need? Is there a fit between your customer needs and what you offer? A new pharmacological breakthrough or the amount of substance used per tablet do not qualify as elements of a solution. Case in point, one pharmaceutical company built their message around the small dosage the patients needed to take. They had prominently displayed the term microdose in their advertisement campaigns for a cardiovascular drug. They realized later that this feature does not lend itself to convincing arguments for the prescribing physician. They ultimately changed the slogan. Follow the solution imperative. The following questions sound straightforward, but are essential to your success. Which specific problems do you solve with your product and your trial results? Are you sure that it is a problem or an unmet need for your doctor? If your customers are not aware of a problem, they will not listen to you. Work on these answers until you have found a satisfactory answer. You may need to sharpen doctors' awareness for particular problems. For example, companies marketing lipid-lowering drugs, especially statins, have successfully increased physicians' awareness of the risks of hyperlipidemia and the healthcare benefits of treating this condition, resulting in tremendous product revenues. Understand the real needs. Focus on the key areas in which doctors seek better solutions. Ensure that you provide the doctors you are targeting with solutions to the problems that concern them. Give them only the support they are really interested in. The doctor is interested in improving patients' health, making patients happy, giving state-of-the-art treatment, saving precious time, and being financially successful. Pin down your solution. For most diseases, there are 4 areas in which your product can provide a solution. It may offer improved efficacy, the desired pharmacological effect, tolerability, the profile of side effects, convenience, user-friendliness, and affordability, the price. You need to identify which of these elements is true of your drug. Communicate explicit benefits. The new intravenous formulation of Xamplex requires a shorter duration of infusion. That statement shows how a shorter duration of infusion for a drug results in a clear advantage for the patient and the healthcare professional. He or she saves precious time. This may seem obvious to you, but spell it out. Do not leave the physician to work out how features translate into benefits. Specify the benefit clearly. Xamplex has a longer duration of action for treating this dysfunction. This example shows how the pharmacokinetic feature of a longer duration of action and a longer half-life translates into a clear benefit. The concept, more time for the right moment, is successfully used by the company Lilly for their product Cialis in the treatment of erectile dysfunction. The once-daily administration of a medication results in better convenience and adherence to treatment compared to a twice-daily medication. Practical examples. The COMET case study. The Carvedilol or Metoprolol European trial included around 3,000 people with chronic heart failure. The scientific data was presented like this. In the Carvedilol or Metoprolol European trial, around 3,000 people with chronic heart failure were assigned to receive twice daily doses of Carvedilol or Metoprolol for around 5 years. Yearly mortality rates were 8.3 with Carvedilol and 10.0% with Metoprolol. Average life expectancy was 8 years for patients given Carvedilol, compared with 6.6 years for patients given Metoprolol. 34% of patients assigned Carvedilol died during the 5-year study, compared with 40% of patients assigned Metoprolol. Targeted at experts and opinion leaders. Based on these results, the company conveys a clear message targeted at experts and opinion leaders, using the following statement. Results of a European study in this week's issue of The Lancet suggest that the beta blocker Carvedilol offers substantial survival benefits compared with another widely used beta blocker for the treatment of chronic heart failure. This can then be translated into a clear message targeted at prescribing physicians. Dilatren patients live longer, on average 1.4 years. The action case study. A coronary disease trial investigating outcome with nifedipine, GITS, or action, investigated the effect of long-acting nifedipine in patients with coronary artery disease. The scientific data is as follows. A coronary disease trial investigating outcome with nifedipine, GITS, or action. Patients with treated stable symptomatic coronary disease. 3825 patients assigned to nifedipine and 3840 patients assigned to placebo. Findings. 310 patients allocated nifedipine died compared with 291 people allocated to placebo. Primary endpoint rates per 100 patient years were 4.6 for nifedipine versus 4.75 for placebo. With nifedipine, rate of death and any cardiovascular event or procedure was 9.32 per 100 patient years versus 10.5 for placebo. Based on these results, the company conveys a clear message targeted at experts and opinion leaders, such as the following statements. Addition of nifedipine, GITS, to conventional treatment of angina pectoris has no effect on major cardiovascular event-free survival. Nifedipine, GITS, reduces the need for coronary angiography and interventions. This was then translated into a clear message targeted at the prescribing physicians. A unique study due to its design, size, and scientific validity. Proven safety and improved outcomes on top of best practice treatments lead to an 11% additional risk reduction. The 4S case study. The Scandinavia Simvastatin survival study investigated the effects of simvastatin in patients with hyperlipidemia. The scientific data was as follows. Although non-cardiac death rates were similar among the groups, the relative risk of mortality from any cause was decreased 30% and the relative risk of coronary mortality was decreased 42% in the simvastatin arm. Based on these results, the company conveys a clear message targeting at the prescribing physicians as follows. Zocor, power for survival. The Examplex case study. Our example company spent millions on a large international high-quality trial involving several thousand patients with a cardiovascular disease. We call it the Examplex trial. The data was analysed. You are the product manager responsible for product Examplex. What set of questions will you ask? The next section show how you use these questions to move through the various drafts and arrive at a final version that provides a far more balanced view of the study results. When given a statistical chart measuring relative risk against primary endpoints, which questions will you ask? The answer to a question for your statistician or medical advisor, what are the statistical confidence intervals for these endpoints, will result in a diagram containing lines from the point designating the confidence intervals. Following on and asking the question, what are the results for primary and secondary endpoints in the study, will result in a variation to the diagram, which will show primary and secondary endpoints, as opposed to just primary endpoints. Asking your statistician or medical advisor how many of the individual datasets contribute to the primary and to the secondary endpoints results in a diagram with a larger box in a centralized area. The diagram has now shifted in favor of your product, although you cannot construe a clinically relevant difference between the two treatment arms. Is this a fair representation? Yes, it is, because the combined number of primary and secondary endpoints is usually more relevant to the practicing physician who see the patients in their medical practice, independently of whether an endpoint met the strict adherence to study protocol criteria which would qualify it as a primary. The substance used as an active control in this trial was standard treatment in the disease investigated. Prior clinical studies had clearly demonstrated it prevented cardiovascular complications. Since this trial found no relevant difference in efficacy between the active control and the substance, Examplex, Examplex can be considered as having similar beneficial effects to the active control. This leads to the following message. Examplex is effective in preventing cardiovascular complications, an appropriate and safe initial treatment. Be sure to discuss this with your medical department and check regulatory requirements in your country before promoting any message. If the efficacies of your product and the active control are similar in your trial, check the profile of side effects. Examplex has a better tolerability profile than the competitor. In some charts, the increases or decreases of sonographic, radiological, and laboratory parameters are not immediately apparent to the reader as a benefit or a disadvantage. you need to indicate clearly what is beneficial. Place the word improvement on the appropriate side of a horizontal axis so the reader instantly recognises a change as a favourable result. Sell the product, not the study. Is your product mentioned in the name of your trial? What do you do if your brand name is not part of the study name? You could rename the study internally so that it reflects your brand name. In most cases, it is simply enough to use the product name before the study name, usually an acronym. When you refer to it, for example, the name of your product is Examplex, and the acronym of your study is ABC. Your clinical trial name becomes the Examplex ABC study. Make sure your team agrees to use the new term consistently in all your internal and external material to ensure the biggest impact on prescribing behaviour. A trial where the impact on sales of the substance investigated was very limited was the HOT, or Hypertension Optimal Treatment Trial, well known in the cardiovascular sector. However, only few prescribing physicians knew which was the main drug used in the trial. It was the calcium antagonist, felodipine. No one respects statutory limits. You should ensure compliance with all relevant standards. See the chapter entitled Codes of Practice. Your reputation and your credibility are your most valuable assets among your direct customers, the public, and government agencies. Various incidents in late 2004 and early 2005 prompted government agencies to enact regulations that will require pharmaceutical companies to publish trial results of all completed clinical trials that they have initiated. Companies that concede trial results, for example because they do not favour their product, are providing a disservice to their customers and their product. Handle negative data appropriately. One example for handling data from clinical trials is illustrated on the website www.lillytrials.com, where the company Eli Lilly will publish all of its clinical trial results. Visit this website to see how they do it. Choose your words with care. The article published in the Wall Street Journal commented on the use of the word dodge in a company's training document that instructed sales representatives on how to deal with the potential questions about the safety of their product. The training document could be interpreted as implying that sales representatives were being taught to evade doctors' questions. The importance of responsible behaviour is obvious. In addition, be careful in your choice of words when writing your training manuals. Therefore, watch what you write. Beware of careless emails. The Washington Post carried an article on the 26th of August 2004 describing how the New York attorney, General Elliot L. Spitzer, filed civil fraud charges against a big pharmaceutical company while citing an email in which company officials discussed certain studies and the need to manage effectively the dissemination of data in order to minimise any potential negative commercial impact. This incident shows how careless behaviour and careless emails can be loose cannonballs which can lead to legal proceedings against you and your company.